Oftentimes in life we wonder, can we really make a difference? Is there an ability inside of us to change someone's life? Having just returned from a mission trip, one of the reasons that I went into Romania this fall was to answer the prayers of some orphan children who in July said to me, would you come if we prayed that God would lead you to be here? In the midst of all that, I began to realize that sometimes even the prayer of a little orphan needs to be heard and to be heeded and to be answered. And as a result, I found myself there in Romania. I went for a number of reasons. I found myself one night having pizza with 150 orphan children. And on that particular night, there's a little boy there that had been blessed by one of the group that had gone in June into Romania. His name was Bata. And Bata was a bright little 9-year-old boy who was a part of a gypsy family whose mother begs on the streets of Paris, who came to pick him up just 2 weeks ago to take him away from the world that he knew and to take him into the streets to beg. Well, he made a decision he wouldn't go. And as a result of that decision, he also realized that this young lady named Sarah, who cared about him, had a deep love that God would bless him. And she wrote him a letter. So on that particular night, I was there with him. I took the letter to him, and the words that she wrote were words like this: Bata, I love you very much. I want you to know I've been praying for you every day. You're very special to me. God has given me a big love for you. You are very special to God. I pray that you still keep your Bible under your pillow and read some of the verses I underlined for you. I miss you very much. There is not a day that I not think of you and pray for you. I'm very happy that God has blessed me with you in my life now. You are a joy to me. When I see you smile, I smile too. I want you to remember that I'm always thinking of you. Well, I watched the young boy as he held that letter. And in that letter written in Romanian, he kept staring at it. He kept staring at it. And I kept wondering, why is he looking at it so intensely? Why is he not changing his focus? Little did I know that he'd never been taught to read. He had no idea what this lady had written to him. But what he did get out of that experience was somebody, at least one person in the world, cared about him. One of the folks who works with the children there asked him, would you like me to read your letter to you? And he looked at her and said, no, I just want to hold it because somebody cares about me. You see, oftentimes we fail to realize that it just begins with one person caring about another person and showing how precious they are to our lives. And so today we look at what it means to discover what is priceless and what is precious in our lives. Because today we dig into a place in Scripture that when you read it, you have to read it numerous times to get the real thrust of what it is that the psalmist record. So if you have your Bible, open if you would to Psalm 126. And as you're opening there, it is here that you find yourself encountering a word from the psalmist that reminds us of the responsibility that we bear, the responsibility that we have in order to make a difference in our world. And I want you to look at these verses, if you would, with me, the entire psalm first, and then we're going to be digging into the last two verses of this psalm, because it's in this psalm that we find what happens when somebody goes about bearing precious seed, who will doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with them. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And notice this verse. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. When you read this, you realize that here is the summation of what happens when somebody is set free from what it is that bound them up. And what the psalmist does, he speaks to what happens when all of a sudden they're taken out of captivity and they're brought back into the freedom. And it's interesting how he notes, if you would, in verse 3 there, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And when I think about the day and hour in which we live, the moment that God has given us, We have so much to celebrate what God has done. He has brought us together as His people. He has called us by His name. He has positioned us as a church in a strategic location in order to bring to people the hope that comes in Christ, in order to help someone realize that you can take whatever it is you've been through and you can find an answer that will change your life forever. The little girl on the poster behind me on the left side, she's turning 13 years old in just a few days. And a few days ago, I had lunch with her, just one-on-one with a translator. And as I was holding her hand, I noticed she began to squeeze my hand tighter. And I wonder what Andrea was thinking as she was holding my hand. And then it dawned on me. For 13 years, she had never held a father's hand. She had never used the word daddy or father. She only found herself living a life removed from the love that can come from someone who cares about her. Well, as we were conversing and talking, I began to realize that something powerful was happening inside of her. I looked at her and I said, Andrea, you're a beautiful young lady. God has done something in you only He can do. Well, later on, I was talking to her sister, the one on the right, Roxy, and I asked her, I said, you know, you have the capacity to love. I want to ask you, why do you love the way you love? And she looked at me and said, I didn't used to love like this. Jesus did this in me. He caused me to realize that I could love and love others. And she said, God did this. Well, as she was saying that, and as I was thinking about these sisters, I began to realize that there is a story unfolding for all of us when people realize that we do love and we do care for them. We want the best for their life. But what happens is, if we don't see what it is that's in our lives as precious and priceless, we don't act on it. And today I want to ask you a couple questions to ponder regarding where you are in your own spiritual journey. When it comes to your journey, I want to ask you, where do you see your place in the world? Do you see your place as a sender? Do you see your place as a giver? Do you see your place as a prayer? Do you see your place as someone who's willing to do whatever it would take to make a difference? You see, the reality is God is at work all over the world. He is touching lives and changing lives. But you and I have to see where our place is. We have to know what it is He wants to do in and through us, how He wants to work, what He wants to say to us. We have to be willing to yield to Him. We have to look and find where our place is. You know, for me, I have found my place at home in One Heart. I have found my place at home in other places in the world. I have found myself at home just this past week. One of the things I did while there, I took 14 little orphan girls to a wedding. A wedding, I'd never been to one in Romania, but I thought, I'm going to go. And then a few weeks ago, I was speaking to the young lady getting married, and she said, I asked her, I said, well, who's doing a wedding? And she said, you are. And I said, really? I said, that's amazing. And I said, what do you do at a wedding there? She said, well, let me just kind of tell you, it's different than in America. She said, in America, you have a celebration. In Romania, we have a dedication. And she said, there'll be 7 pastors speak before you. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, it's going to be one of the longest services in life. And then we're going to have some songs. We're going to have some poems. We're going to have all kinds of things. And as we were in the middle of that experience, I sat through 1.5 hours of not understanding a single word because they were all saying it in Romanian. The pastor, one of the pastors that was in charge, he said, you need to sit up here on the platform so you can be seen as the dignitary here as a special guest. I said, no way. I'm not flying 7,000 miles to sit away from these children that I love. I'm going to sit right with them. And I said, you just give me the signal when I'm supposed to come. And so I went up and I spoke. I had the longest window of time. I had 15 minutes to be able to talk about marriage and commitment and life. And so it was a beautiful service. In fact, it was 2 hours long. And at the end of the service, I have to tell you about this because it was I had no idea what you did, what protocol was or anything else. And so after the service over, one of the things they do is the bride and the groom, they march out of the worship center and the pastors walk right behind them. Well, I was seeing all these people that I knew at the wedding, and so I was not paying attention like I was walking down the center aisle here, and I was looking, saying, hello, hello, hello. And I began to notice the bride, she began to just do her hands like this. Well, I thought, this is a Romanian way of praising God that she found a husband and something powerful has happened, you know. And she kept leaning back further and further. I thought, oh, it's so precious. What kind of love could this be? And finally I realized I was walking right up her dress, and I was pulling her head back this way, and she was doing this, and I was walking right on up, and then I couldn't get my feet out of her dress. They were all bound around me, and I thought, this is going to be bad. And so I finally backed up to get out of her dress. And so later on, I told her, I said, Bettina, I thought you were giving praise to God. She said, no, I was just trying to get rescued from your feet as you marched right up my dress. So the reality is that That moment, though, I thought, this is a moment of joy, because they are laughing. She is dying. I mean, we stopped the service. I mean, the processional stops because she's got to rearrange her whole life in order to go on past that moment. But as we finished that, we went to a dinner, 5.5 hours dinner, and the longest dinner I've ever been to in my life. I made the fatal mistake prior to the dinner while I was speaking, said, you know, there are 14 children I love just like my own children, and I'm going to come to all their weddings. Then I went to that dinner. There is no way I could go to 7.5 hour weddings every time. But it was precious for me because it gave me the privilege to be able to see through the eyes of these children. Those little girls, I took them to the mall on Friday night. My girls will tell you I'd never shopped much at all my whole life. And to watch them buy their first dress to wear to a wedding and to watch their hearts be open, it told me that what God wants us to do is see our place in the world. And I see my place impacting children here, children there, children everywhere, because I think God has given us the opportunity to touch the next generation and to change their lives with the hope that rests in Christ. That is the key that changes everything. And so today, I want you to think about not just where you see your place, but I also want you to think about, with regard to your own personal journey, how seriously do you take your assignment? In other words, when you get a look at life, do you look at it seriously? In other words, here's what I want you to think about. Do you realize you could sit in church today and disregard every single thing that we talk about in order to go back to your world? Maybe your world is challenged. Maybe you're in the midst of a difficult time. Maybe you have a heartache. Maybe you have something going on that you look and say, you know what? You don't understand my problems. Listen carefully. I understand that we all face challenges. I understand we all encounter issues. But here's what you and I need to see today. We need to look inside of our own hearts and ask ourselves the question, how serious are we about what it is God's called us to do? Because if we're serious, then something will begin to happen inside of each one of us. Now, when you think about that, you have to break down this psalm into some distinctive parts. In verses 1 through 3, you find the power of what God can do. In other words, He can bring people out of captivity and set them free. That is the message of hope we preach to anybody we encounter anywhere. It is in that message. That's why in different countries of the world this year, 176 different people gave their heart to Christ. It is our belief that Jesus changes everything. And when Jesus changes a life, it transforms the way they look at life. It transforms how they function. And that's why we commit ourselves to making sure that we carry something to them that is precious and is priceless. But then in verse 4, you realize that they said, you restore to us our captivity like the streams that come from the south. And what the psalmist does here is he says that there are moments in which we, as we wait on God, He brings something back to us that is amazing and powerful. He restores to us what is broken. Listen carefully. If your world is caving in, there is only one answer to any world that is falling apart, and it does not rest in the government. It does not rest in some philosophy. It does not rest in some psychologist's office. It rests in the name of Jesus. He is the one who changes the lives of people anywhere. Amen? And so what you and I need to do today is look and see what it means to understand that God can do anything. He has the power to change anything, but He also has a plan that He wants to execute in all of our lives. And that's when you get to verses 5 and 6. You see that it talks about the farmer and it talks about the patience of someone being willing to wait on God. And for us, this is the moment in which God's brought to us an awareness that we need to be willing to do whatever it would take to change the world. One heart at a time. And when you think about that, what that does, it takes it off of being able to say, well, you know, we're just going to throw some money here and throw some money there. I promise you that we are not going to throw money anywhere. What we're going to do is we're going to throw our lives somewhere. Because, see, you can toss money anywhere you want to. You can say, I'll give a little bit of this, give a little bit of that. But what happens when you decide to say, you know what, I want to invest in something that's eternal. I want to make sure I commit my heart to what can transform someone's life forever. I'll take you inside an apartment of three orphan girls, 28, 27, and 26. On Friday morning, I'm in their apartment visiting with them, the first pastor to ever visit their home, their life. And in that particular apartment, I began to talk to him, and I looked at him. I said, you know what? I want to do something for you because I want to make sure you understand that God loves you, that God cares about you. I took some money out, and they said, we can't take that. See, we have learned in our lives that we take nothing, and we just survive. And I looked at him and said, yes, you can take this because what God has for you, He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Listen carefully. What you and I need to see is that when God gives us something, He doesn't give it to us to hang on to it. He gives it to us to give it away. And whatever it is He gives us, we give our lives away. Be it our resources, be it our message of hope, be it what it is that we pray about, be it what it is that we are energized by. Listen carefully. You and I don't live to miss our moment. We live to experience it. We live to commit our hearts to accomplish His purpose. We live to believe that God can change a country like Iran. We live to believe that a young lady walking into an abortion clinic can all of a sudden hear that there's someone down the street that cares enough about them to help them find hope. You should have been with me as I wrapped my arms around a young lady who is an orphan girl, found herself pregnant, went through an abortion, felt the pain and agony of that. Look on my computer screen at 6:15 a.m. this morning when that same young lady writes me and says, I love you. You gave me hope again. You gave me purpose. You gave me meaning. You helped me realize that God cared about me. You see, the truth of the matter is, what you and I need to do is we need to make sure we understand what is precious and what is priceless. And so today I want to break it down into two pieces. And I want you to get a hold of it, and I want you to take it home with you, and I want you to think about your own life. First of all, I want us to think about, when we think about what is precious, I want you to think about there are six distinctive things that are precious in life. Six things that you should note to hang on to that will speak to who you are, that will guide you in life. First of all, what is precious to each one of us is the presence of God. Knowing that God is with us is one of the most precious things that we ever have. Flying home yesterday, the plane began to shake very strongly and bounce. And all the time I was on there, I knew He was with me. I knew His presence was guiding me. I knew He was bringing me home to One Heart. And what I want you to see today, what is precious, is knowing that He is present with us. But not just His presence. What is precious to each one of us is His purpose. He has a meaning for our lives. He has something He wants to do. And listen carefully. You're not living by accident. You're not living missing your opportunity. You're living because God has purpose. If your world is caving in, let Him rebuild it. If your heart is broken, let Him heal your heart. If your world is being blessed beyond measure, understand why you're being blessed. If He is giving something to you, He's giving it to you so you can give it away. If He's giving something to you, He's helping you understand that what you have is what He's going to use as a tool to change the world. But His presence is precious to us. His purpose is one of the most powerful things that we ever have, because when you know what you're supposed to do in life, it changes everything. But what about His promises? What about the promises that God has for each one of our lives? You ever found yourself struggling? In fact, look in the Psalms there just for a second. I want you to look at just a few of the ways that these different psalmists address the whole idea of what it is God can do. Look, if you would, just for a second. Look at Psalm 120. And I want you to just see the first verse and how the psalmists write, David and others, how they write. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and He answered me. Stop right there and think about that promise. You're in the midst of difficulty and heartache. You cry out to God, oh God, help me. How many times do we find Him meeting us right at the point of our need where we all of a sudden realize that we're crying out and He answers our need? He speaks to who we are. Thank you very much. And He guides us by way of process. The truth of the matter is that when He begins to speak to us, His promises are what guide us. Look, if you would, at the next psalm. Look at Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Don't you love the fact that when you're facing something that was bigger than you ever dreamed you would, that you don't have to depend on yourself, that you can go beyond yourself to what it is God has for you? Don't you love the fact that when sometimes things don't seem to be adding up, all of a sudden you begin to look into the hills from which your help comes, and your help comes from Him? You see, the psalmist was trying to say, all of them, bringing us back to the same focus, and that is, we have a purpose in life. He wants to do something through it. There are promises we can claim. Look on, though. Look at one more, if you would. Verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when you think about how important, how precious it is, listen, you should never take for granted coming into His house. You should never miss that moment in which you have the chance to be able to celebrate coming into His house, because we are His people. We are called by His name. He's given us something to be able to do in life. He's called on us to be able to live our lives anchored in His purpose. And when we come into His house, something begins to happen inside of us. The very first time I ever walked into this room, I can remember it just like it was yesterday. And it was in the early part of this year. I walked in here, and the one thing I felt over and over again was that God's peace was resting on me. God's peace was speaking to my heart. I had no idea that He would someday allow us to be in our first Global Missions Day together in this place. I had no idea that we could all gather together and celebrate who He is. But when we look at God's house, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm going to say this to you no matter what. When you come in his house, even if your world's caving in, you ought to come into the one who rebuilds your cave. You ought to be able to come in here and say, Lord, I want to experience who you are. I want to encounter you as one who speaks to my heart. These promises take hold of our lives. We could go on through all these Psalms of Ascent, and what you discover over and over again is they say the same thing. That is, God is the answer to everything that we'll ever face in life. But let's look on, though, because not only is his presence and his purpose and his promises very precious to us, but one of the things we realize very quickly is that when God begins to speak to each one of our lives, what makes it very precious to all of us is his people. I mean, when I think about what's precious, it's God's people gathering together. It's being able to gather together. I stood beside a young orphan girl that has never, ever looked straight at me. She always ignores. She looks the other way. I stood beside her on Friday before I left. I went and spent 1 hour to say goodbye to the children. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but that hour is the hardest hour of your life, especially when tears begin to fall down your cheek. And they begin to ask you, will you really come again? Will you be willing to say yes? And you see, that's why we do what we do in different parts of the world. Be it in Tanzania or Argentina, or be it in Ukraine, or be it in Romania, or be it around the corner at Norcross Cooperative Ministries, be it somewhere else at Big Oak Ranch. You see, the story's the same. Every broken world needs the answer to their brokenness, and the answer always rests in his people. It's precious to know that we're his people. And today, I want you to think about how significant you are, that God has called you by your name. He knows your name. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what it is you're going to live for. He knows every day of your life. I want to ask you, when you think about the year that's coming up, if we were to evaluate the future, what would it look like? Would you see how precious your life is, that you have the privilege and opportunity to be able to live for him? But not only is it precious that we are his people, but also it's very precious when you think about life, that he has a plan for your life. Don't you love the fact that God has a plan? You know, the truth of the matter is, January of this year, I would have never dreamed his plan would be all together. I tell you, I hugged some people in this room that I would have never met in my life had God not had a plan. And every Sunday when I hug, especially some of those who have lived long enough to know what a hug really means, when I have those hugs and I encounter it, I think about his plan. And listen carefully. Come hell or high water, nobody's going to stop the plan God has for this church, because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I can tell you right now, any battle that comes our way, we'll win. Any challenge that comes our way, we'll overcome. The truth of the matter is, when people look at us, they think, how can all those people come together for one common purpose? It's because we see what is precious. We see his presence. We see his purpose. We see his plan. We see what it is he wants to do in each one of our lives. But one final thing, when you think about what is absolutely precious to each one of our lives, and as you think about it, I want you not to miss this. It is his power. It is that God can do something in us that only he can do. I want you to think about it just for a moment. Think about your story before you met Jesus. Think about what it was like. Think about how empty you felt. Think about how challenged you were. Think about what seemed to overcome you. And then all of a sudden, Jesus became your answer. And you know, oftentimes, we need to remember our story, because our story of what Jesus has done is what motivates us to see what is precious. And that's what brings us to verses 5 and 6. Because for everything that is precious, there are some things that are priceless that you cannot put a money tag on. And when you think about it, you find it in verses 5 and 6 of this text. Look at it with me. Because what is absolutely priceless is taking the responsibility to look at God's word and live it out. Notice what he says, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, when you look at this passage, you realize that it's here that all of a sudden the psalmist begins to talk about what is priceless. The first thing he says that is priceless is that we all have a mission in life. We all have a mission. In fact, look how clearly it is. He says here, those who sow in tears. And here's what he's saying to you and me. We have to seize the opportunity, the hour God has given us. We can't push it off to another generation. We have to seize this hour. And it's interesting because I want you to see this in light of what the psalmist says. Those who sow in tears. On a particular night, I found myself in Romania in my room late at night, and all of a sudden, an instant message came across from Facebook from one of the orphan girls that I love and care about. She's a young 19-year-old girl, and she wrote me. She said, I had a very bad night tonight. I said, what happened? I was attacked by a boy. And the boy told me that I had to give him everything that he wanted, and he began to touch me and began to bother me. And as she wrote these words, I said to myself, I can't be there to protect her. And I began to cry. I began to weep. And as I was weeping, I said to her, I said, what did you do? She said, I beat him up. And I thought, now that's my kind of orphan girl. Beat him up if you need to. And it's interesting what she said. She said to me on the next message, don't worry about me. I'm in God's hand. Amen? That's what we need to pray about. Amen? But we have a mission, don't we? We have a mission of responsibility that God's given us. And this mission is not something we can ignore. And what the psalmist says is, those who sow in tears, and I want you to see this in light of what he's trying to say. If you're not serious enough to weep about it, you're not serious enough to make it happen. And what he's saying is, let me tell you what's happened in our culture. We have become tearless people who spend all of our energy on something that doesn't count while never weeping about what does. Because the truth of the matter is, if we don't weep for those who hurt, how in the world can we celebrate for those who are blessed? If we don't take the time to invest in those who are looking for an answer, then how in the world could we ever see life the way God intended? And listen carefully. It is our mandate. It is our opportunity. It is our hour to take serious what it is God said to us. Our mission is this. Those who sow in tears. In other words, you got to be willing to take action on what it is God's called you to do. But not only does he say that you're supposed to have a mission, but look, if you would, at the latter part of verse 5. Notice, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, here is the blessing that comes to anyone who ever experiences what God intended. There's a blessing that there's no way to describe. You see, for me, if he were to call me home at any point, I would rejoice in the blessing of holding the hand of an orphan child and saying, God loves you and God cares for you. I would rejoice in the blessing of knowing that, as the psalmist says it here so clearly, they shall reap with joyful shouting. In other words, here's what he's saying. There's these moments that come into our lives that you come to a place where you recognize the joy of taking action, that you all of a sudden realize you can't just sit on the sideline of life. You have to take action on it. And when you do that, something begins to happen. In fact, he says it this way, they'll come with joyful shouting. In other words, they're saying, yes, something happened great. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. That as we look at this next year, changing one heart at a time, may there be moments when we shout for joy for what God has done. May we in our hearts celebrate what he has done. For me, I could never not shout with joyful shouting to all that he has done in my own heart and life. And when I look out in this lobby area of our church and I see what God is doing all over the world, it makes me want to say, yes, 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 that we don't just throw money at a program, but we invest in people. That we don't miss the opportunity to change lives here, there, and everywhere because we are committed to it. You see, the thrust of who we are is centered in how we go about sharing with others that God loves them. And the blessing of that is only heaven knows our real impact. Only heaven. Because the truth of the matter is, if we can calculate what it is we've accomplished, then we have missed it. I think about it in this very room. I have some friends who discovered that their lives can make a difference in another part of the world. And they made a decisive choice to say yes. And the blessing that has come their way as a result of that, not only have they become a dear part of my world and Cindy's world, but they have become a dear part of little children that someday when they get to heaven, those little orphan children will walk up to them and embrace them and say to them, we trust you understand how blessed we have been because you obeyed God. But he doesn't just say we have a mission and a blessing, but I want you to look on because verse 6 brings us two other thoughts as we bring this together. Because in verse 6, notice what he said. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed with him. It's interesting here because here's what he says. Here's your assignment. The assignment is not let somebody else go do it. The assignment is you get involved in it. And what he says here is everybody's got a bag of seed. Now here's the question. And when I think about this, it reminds me of an experience I had. The question is this. What are you doing with your seed? I mean, let me ask you, if you've got 100 seed and you have the chance to be able to put them in the ground and you don't put any of them in the ground, how many trees are going to grow? How many plants are going to bloom? I had the privilege on Sunday of meeting with 14 of these little children I told you about. And I took them two roses. One rose, I had them pull a petal off every time I told them. And I tried to show them what happened when someone takes away from you what only God intended for you to have. And then I gave him a white rose of purity. And I said to him, this is the picture of how I want you to live your life. This is how I want you to think about your life. Because here's what you discover. When it comes to our assignment and how he said, he who goes to and fro. In other words, wherever it is God's called you to go, whatever it is he's called you to do. You see, not everybody's called to go to Ukraine or Romania or Argentina or anywhere else. Listen, but he says to and fro, wherever it is God's called you, you just got to be willing to go there. See, for some of you, it's just going to take an assignment that goes just a few feet away to Norcross Cooperative Ministry. You know, I want to help. For some of you, it's just going to be Beaver Ridge Elementary School where you help someone. You see, it's all about us being willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it is he's called me to do. But when you look at this passage, what you discover very quickly is it all ties into acting in obedience to what is really absolutely priceless. Acting in obedience. In other words, whatever it is he wants to do, be willing to do it. And you can tell I have a great passion for these children who have no hope. And let me tell you this, so you'll know. As long as there's breath in my lungs, those children will be loved. They'll be cared for. They'll be invested in, because the truth of the matter is, this is what the Bible teaches. What is pure and undefiled religion? That we care for the widows and orphans of the world. And we as a church will do that. But what you see here, if you look at this assignment that's given, I want to ask you, if you were evaluating your assignment, the bag of seeds you've been carrying around, how many of you put your bag of seeds in the trunk of your car? How many put them in the garage, never to be seen again? How many of you, when you have your seed, you hold on to it thinking it's better to hang on to it than to give it away? And here's what I want you to see today. We all have an assignment. We just have to be willing to execute it. And my encouragement to you today is think about where you are. Think about what it is God wants to do. Because what you see at the very end of this particular verse is you see the inevitable potential of being willing to sow your seed. Look what he says here. They shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him, reaping what really counts in life. And what I want you to see today is you think about where you're going to go and what you're going to do and how you're going to live. I want you to think about what would happen if all of a sudden you begin to say, you know what? I can't do everything, but I can do what God's called me to do. And we as his people, as we join our hearts together, as we commit our lives together, we can do something to change the world. You see, when I think about what it is he's called us to do, he wants us to see what is inevitable. And that is that if we take our seed somewhere, something's going to happen. And whether it be in an orphanage in a faraway land, or whether it be in a home in Alabama where boys and girls understand that God loves them, or whether it be in any place that we have the privilege to be able to minister, inside the 1040 window, inside of different opportunities God's given us, whether it be Meals on Wheels, listen carefully. We have the opportunity to make an eternal difference. We have the opportunity to change people's lives. And my encouragement to you today is you think about your own journey. Do not sit on your hand when it comes to God's assignment. Do not say that's for somebody else. Do not say, I do that, but I really find myself too busy. If you're too busy to carry your seed and spread it out, then why would he have you here on earth? He has you here to carry your seed and spread it to and fro, wherever he's called you to do it. In fact, for some of you, you're going to find yourself out in the lobby area with little sheets where they sign your name up. And you're going to be standing there thinking, you know, I'm not going to commit myself to that. And all of a sudden you say, you know what, I want to help. And I want to give you a personal assignment today. You cannot leave this building for 5 minutes after service is over. For at least 5 minutes, you got to go out in that lobby area. If I see anybody leaving, I'll preach about you next Sunday. So you better make sure that you stay in that lobby area, that you get blessed. And you know what? Go find one of those exhibits. Go embrace somebody who chose to follow Jesus. Embrace this young man from Iran. Don't stick your hand out, shake it, and give him a hug. Let him know that we love people. We care about them. I want to ask you a question as we conclude our time today. You can probably tell that I have a great passion for this. And I'll say this to you so you categorically know it. If we don't go beyond our doors, we are not the church God's called us to be. And listen carefully, we will go beyond our doors as long as I am pastor of this church. It is in the DNA of our body. It is in the DNA of One Heart Church. And it is who we are as his people. And it is the Great Commission lived out in this generation. Will you join me in fulfilling the Great Commission? You've done enough to make me smile. So I end with this question. Will you commit to change the world? And it may only be like one of our sweet members shared with me out in the lobby area. In the midst of recovering from a medical condition and being probably bored to death, being stuck in that spot, she got a card from a young lady who's now a missionary in another part of the world. And the young lady wrote about what kind of impact she'd made. And she said to her, I never told you that while I was in high school, my mom was an alcoholic. You see, she lived years not even knowing that she changed the heart of one person. And the tears that she shed in the lobby are just a reminder of the kind of tears I want us to shed all over the world. Be it in any place God calls you to be. You're never going to hear me say you ought to go here or there. But you are going to hear me say that those who go about bearing precious seed will doubtless come again, rejoicing with great joy, bringing their sheaves with them. May we be a church where evangelism is not a word that is ignored, but it is a word of our hearts. May we be a church where our passion yields to committing to changing the world. Because the truth of the matter is, anywhere we go in the world, we don't go to have a picnic. We go to change a life. And may it be said of us that we are committed to accomplishing the purpose. He has given us this great facility to center our mission and to center our hope in taking it from here all over the world. May that be our story. May we commit our lives to change the world, one heart at a time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the joy of being able to come into your house, look at your word, hear it speak to our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the great opportunity to be able to come in knowing that you have something in store for us that is amazing and powerful. I pray for the person is here that their world is caving in, that they'd realize that you are the answer to anything. And for the person who's finding a real zeal inside of their heart to serve you, may you speak to their lives in an amazing way as well. Lord, in this particular day, may we look at the world in a different light because we have read what the psalmist said. May we realize you restore those who are captive. You bring to those who are looking for an answer restoration, but you also give motivation. And Lord, today we celebrate and consecrate our lives to accomplish your purpose. And it is our living purpose to take what is absolutely precious and to match it up with what is absolutely priceless and experience what you intend. And so I pray, Lord, you'd move in our hearts as a result of that. In Jesus' name, amen.